Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to On Fire to Inspire with your host, Miss On Fire to Inspire herself, Aaliyah Butler. I want to thank you guys so much for joining me this beautiful Tuesday evening. You could have been doing anything else, but guess what? You chose to join us, and for that, we are totally grateful. Guys, I want to thank our wonderful sounds of audiology and the voice of Miss Deidre Novette. If you heard the song that came in, that's our new jingle. We're going to actually be releasing the whole song next week. We're just giving you all a little taste of the song for the last week and this week. But we're going to do the whole song on next week, and that is the new On Fire to Inspire jingle. Hi, everybody, as you're joining us on Facebook Live, I am thanking our sponsors right now. We're thanking Vodiology. We're thanking April Graphics, who does all of our graphics. So any of the flyers you see, anything that's graphically done or picture-wise you've seen done, that's April Graphics. That's spelled APHOGRAF as in Frank, X as in X-ray. They take care of all of that. So if you need any graphics done, flyers, business card design, any of that, April Graphics will take care of you. Vodiology, they also take care of any of your infomercials, your jingles, your commercials. And then we have Post-Surgery Care of Atlanta. They take care of you when you are just having surgery. And you can call them at 470-298-2630, where aftercare matters most. So thank you so much, everybody, as you're joining us on Facebook Live and On Fire Inspire. We have our travel ambassador and Miss Business Coach herself, Miss Cornelia Brown. She was our guest last week talking about the aspects of being an entrepreneur and gave us some great, great nuggets. So you're going to go back and listen to that if you missed last week. That is travel ambassador and business coach, Miss Cornelia Brown. She can take care of you in getting your own personal portal and access to the great savings. For example, she gave me a quote of a Renaissance Waverly Hotel. I want to say it was like, $246 a night, and it cut it down to like one something. It cut it down to 46% savings. So I'm telling you, she can take care of you. Also, Inspired Jewels for you. Inspired Jewels, the number four, you, the letter U. They get your $5 on jewelry and accessories. And then finally, y'all, don't forget my latest book release on May 7th. I released the 21-Day Mind Detox. And that is your ebook that reminds you that each and every day you're taking out the trash and you're intentionally bringing in the fresh and the new. We're intentionally giving you words of inspiration that the Lord gave me, intentionally giving you a word from the Lord, from the scriptures that are also confirming that word. And then it gives you just a picture just to feed on each and every day for 21 days. You take a page a day. Now, for those of you who don't like reading, guess what? You can do a page a day, right? So thank you so much to all of our sponsors. And we're going to jump in tonight. Now, we have our guest. The topic tonight is your present is not your future. Now, so many people love to say, well, you know what? You don't understand what I've been through, or you don't understand. Well, y'all know what? You know, the Lord. One of the things the Lord's been saying lately is it's time to dream again. And I happened to have lunch with one of my sisters that missed the show last week, and she had no clue that the Lord had given me that word. And we had lunch, and she brought me this, and this bracelet says dream. Now, she had no clue that that was the thing. But this young lady that we're bringing as our guest, she did not forget the dream. She didn't allow her current situation to dictate her future. She didn't allow her past to keep her stagnant. She didn't allow her past to keep her paralyzed. So we just give praise to Dr. Latasha Holden. We're bringing her live now. Her phone is not allowing her to come in, so you're going to actually be hearing her voice. So welcome, Dr. Holden. How are you just great evening.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us on Fire to Inspire. So tell us, I want you to introduce yourself to the On Fire to Inspire family.
Oh, goodness. Well, you know, every time I think I get a little tongue-tied on that one, that question, I don't know. You know, I'm Dr. Latarsha Holden. I was born and raised in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm just, you know, a woman that had decided to surrender and trust God. And I tell you, only God could have turned my life around the way he's done in 10 years. And I'm just glad to be here. So look back, drop right fast. Within 10 years, he brought me from being homeless in the streets of Atlanta with six children to a political candidate in the 2017 election, from a GD to a doctorate, and I became a 12-time published author within that time. So I'm still kind of like letting the smoke set off my brains right now. See, that's why I'm just... I'm really feeling all of what God has done and
yes.
is still doing.
Wow! Oh my goodness! You know, that is a testimony in and of itself. You went from homeless with six children, having a GED. Now you have your doctorate. You've published 12 books. You, girl, oh my goodness. Yeah, I can understand how you're still trying to let the dust settle.
Yeah.
Because sometimes people want to say, "Woo, but you don't understand. I got six kids, but you don't understand. I'm homeless." But you said, you know what? I'm going to allow that to be my catalyst. And girl, I commend you. Stand an ovation to you. And such a testament to so many others that it can be done.
Yes, yes. It can, you know. It, you know what? I'm still even running for office. I mean, that was just an honor. I mean, you know, to run, actually run for the seat that our now mayor Bottoms vacated to run for mayor. So that it was just a wonderful time and during that campaign during 2017.
Amen. Now, the topic itself, your present is not your future. What does the topic itself mean to you? I love to ask my guests the topic, because a lot of times the topic will be in alignment with what your bio says or something that, you know, that the Holy Spirit gives me. What does that topic, your present is not your future, what does that topic mean to you?
That topic means to me that where you are today is not where God is taking you. You know, so whether you're in the pit, you know, you're in the palace, wherever you're at today.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, what I'm learning since I've been on this journey, you can't give up. It might take 10 years before God, you know, and that was the thing when people interview me and I've been on several radio interviews around the world. That's the thing, you know. Well, how did you keep going for 10 years? I think we all want the crown without the cross. You know, nobody wants to actually go. I didn't want to go through what I went through. Lord, I begged God. But yeah, that just lets you know where you're at today does not mean that God does not have plans for you. And so, yeah, your future, don't look at where you're at today. Believe and trust that God does. He has plans for your life.
Amen. So true. Amen, amen. So tell us about being homeless with six children on the streets of Atlanta. I mean, tell us about that experience.
Well, you know, I was 35 years old, six kids. They ranged from, I think it was two in high school, two in middle school, two in elementary. It was the most, you talk about 2.5, 3 years. So I was uneducated, underemployed, 35, and the last time I had even been in anybody's school, I was 15 years old. But
wow.
I just knew, you know, I was scared. I was lost. I mean, at that time, my mindset had already lived a defeated life. You know, I had a poverty mindset. Okay, I had four kids by 22, dropped out in 10th grade. So I really didn't have a lot of goals and dreams for myself. But being homeless, from sleeping in cars, shelters, abandoned house, living at squatters, sometimes with family for a couple of months and scraping up money for a hotel. It was the hardest time of my life. Because not only was I'm trying to keep myself afloat, I have kids at the age where the streets could have taken over, but I just made a vow that the streets were not going to raise my six children, nor the jail wasn't going to house them.
Amen. Amen. I love it. I love it. I love it. So how did you cope with being homeless for them 2.5 years? I mean, you know, how did you cope and encourage yourself? Because so many, you had everything against you and looked like everything was down. How did you cope with that?
I mean, the journey got hard. I was depressed. I was suicidal. I was humiliated because my kids were embarrassed. You know, I remember walking to a hospital one day, and I just told the lady at the front desk, I said, I don't think I can do this anymore. I don't think I want to be here. She said, ma'am, what you say you want to commit suicide? I said, yes, ma'am. And so they kept me for a week for observation. And I just remember, you know, when they kept me for that week, they had a padded room for those who are really harmful to themselves or others. And I just remember asking the lady in that area, you know, that was in that part of the wing, I asked her, can I go into that room? Now, I wasn't raised in a church, so I didn't have a relationship. I didn't know God. So I was a Christian, but I didn't know God. You know how you go and get your life, but you never develop a relationship. And I just remember going into that room every day, dropping down to my knees, crying out to whoever this God was, please help me. I don't have anything. I'm homeless. I'm lost. I'm here. Please, please help me. And after the 7 days of observation of, and I tell you, it's almost, I just felt like a wind beneath my wings, you know, and I was able just to continue on in school. When I enrolled in college, mm-hmm. I was living in a board-up house at Squatters. So the conditions wasn't right. My mindset was halfway there. But I just started to cry out to God, and I didn't know him, and which to me made the journey more painful, because I thought if I cried and, you know, and pleaded that he'll kind of rescue me immediately, but he did not do that. So that was, you know, so 2.5 to 3 years, it was definitely hard on me mentally, emotionally, when I couldn't provide for my kids. But I just knew I had to keep going and keep fighting for them.
Wow. So you said you had 4 by the age of, was it 22?
Yes.
Okay. And then you turned everything around. And in 2017, you ran for office. What inspired you to do that?
Well, I made it's 2 vows. I don't take vows very lightly. So I made the first vow to my kids, and I wasn't going to let the streets get a hold of them or the jail. So the second vow I made, God, if you get me out of homelessness and hopelessness, I go back and fight for others. And so since my educational journey had came to an end, and you know what? It's like bits of my mind is still foggy. I don't even know how I found out that that seat was coming vacant in my district. So it's almost like it was so much going on during that 10 years. I don't even remember how I found out, but I just remember that, okay, I got my degrees. Okay, you know, I have to go back and fight for my sisters and brothers. And that was my motivation to go to run for office. And, you know, I was scared. It was 8 of us. I was the underdog. I was literally the only candidate in that particular race that actually came from rock bottom. Everybody else was kind of pretty much traditional. They was connected to some kind of permanent elite group. You know, they had the campaign managers, the endorsements, and I was the only one that didn't have any of that. And because I didn't, you know, I was new to that being a political candidate, I only raised $1,500. My opponents had $20,000 to $50,000. And the lady that won the seat, she only went to the runoff by 400 some votes more than me. And so that was I tell you, God was really with me during that race. Yeah. So her 50,000 to my 1,500, and I didn't have a campaign manager, no endorsement. She had the full works, and she only beat me into the runoff by 400 some votes.
Oh, my goodness. That right there is a testament of what God can do. Because
yes.
you had coins compared to the money that she raised.
And then
she only beat you by 400. That's commendable, especially not having any political background, not having the backing, not having, you know, all of that. But God, oh my goodness.
Well, you know, the word was going around when I was running for office was that the people knew I wasn't politicking, you know. And so the people, when I went to every forum, and so the people knew, like I told them, I'm here to fight for you all the same way I fought for my family. And so it wasn't, I didn't have any gimmicks. I didn't have to go and try to tear down other opponents. But God taught me how to stand in the midst of adversity. I was able to stand in that political race on my own merits, stand fully in my story, because I knew I was coming for the homeless community, the low income, the poverty, you know, stricken people. So I knew I had a duty to go back and fight for them. So my passion, I believe, the people I came across, they felt it, and they showed up at every poll that they had open, and they voted for me.
Wow. Yes, people know when there's an ulterior motive. They know the heart of somebody, and they felt your heart. Your heart was pure. Your heart was sincere, and it was like she can relate to us because she's been on the streets.
She has six children.
She knows, and she is a person that's fighting for us and not just selling us a pipe dream. So I commend you. I truly, truly commend you for all of those things you've done, and it also tells that other person who says, you know what? I'll never be able to do this. You know, it tells them that, hey, go for it. You never know. You know, because God placed it in your heart to do, you never know what's going to happen. You just got to do it, right? You got to walk in obedience.
You got to walk, you know, that. And, you know, I tell you, when I look back over that campaign year and I see my grandchildren out there campaigning with me and holding up signs and vote for my grandma, it was a win for my family. I might not win the physical seat, but that was a win for us as a family, as a whole, for the legacy that I'm leaving for my children and grandchildren. So I kept, to go back and fight for others. That was just the beginning. And I'm doing it with my books and what I'm doing now. So it definitely was worth it, that beginning that race.
That's a perfect segue into my next question. And so what led you to start writing? What inspired you to move in from going to that to schools to going and running for politics, and now you're writing? And what led you to do that?
You know, my love, first is my life story. I'm trying to reach people. I just want to give hope and inspiration. That's my purpose. You know, I want to give hope because I know what it feels like when everyone looks the other way. I know what it feels like. I'm born and raised in Atlanta. No family. I had two family members out of probably 150 family members that donated to my campaign. Now everybody was embarrassed because they never expected me to make it to this side of the coin, so to speak. So, you're going to tell people you was homeless. We're going to look bad. And so if they had donated, I probably would have won. But so I got to continue to reach the people. I got to continue to reach the children. So I wrote my life story, and then I wrote four children's books because I want to reach the little kids that's like my grandkids' age. I want to teach them about diversity, friendship, and kindness to one another. Then I want to reach the youth, the same love I've shown to my six children. Now I want to reach beyond my kids and reach the youth. I wrote a four-part youth series for the youth that deal with sex trafficking, bullying, teen dating violence, love and forgiveness. And so then I wrote a book for ministry. I wrote a poetry book. But then I wrote a training manual so I can go back and get my sisters and brothers when I do my workshops to show them the seven steps that I put in place to help transform my mind within that 10 years. And so I'm trying to reach the whole family. And I tell you, the grace of God was, I wrote 12 books within a year and a half. The grace of God was on me to be able to do that. And I just moved in that grace when I felt it. Yes.
12 books in a year and a half. Oh, my God.
So you see why I say I'm still settling from the dust.
Yes. Now, I knew you had written 12, but I didn't know the length of time. a year and a half? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That God embraced you for that. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
I remember, you know, it's funny because I remember when we was in a PhD program, one of the classmates said, I'm an ordained pastor. So she said, Pastor, I ain't trying to be funny, because she knew I was having a book signing. She said, but where do you find the time to write anything else with all this schoolwork? And I said, where I come from, I'm able to see the hurt on people's faces. I'm able to hear the cries. I'm an empath. So I say, and being homeless, it taught me how to be disciplined. It taught me time management. It taught me goal setting. So I just buckled down when that grace came on me and that longing, that empathy for others. I just buckled down and did it. And writing the series, the children's, it wasn't, you know, then coming back doing the training manual. It took a lot of discipline, but I'll never forget my professor told the class that the world belongs to those who are disciplined. And so I just took that, and I became very disciplined during those 2.5-3 years when we was homeless.
Wow. Wow. Now, did you ever think during that time where things were just so dim and grim, did you ever think that things were going to get better?
Oh, no. I mean, no. I didn't even – oh, my goodness. It got so bad. You know, I remember – riding around in Atlanta, me and my kids are in a car, in a van, and they're frustrated, it's hot, and there's, Mama, where we going to go? We want to lay down. I said, I don't know. I'm crying. I said, I don't know. And I heard a still small voice, those in Atlanta would know what I'm talking about. I heard a still small voice say, go to a Berean Christian bookstore on Cleveland Avenue. And I tell this part of the story because I pray that I meet these people if they were not angels. And I'm like, what are you talking? I'm talking to myself. What are you talking about? What's there? And I heard the voice again, go to Berean Christian Bookstore. Your help is there. So I go to Berean, and I walk in, and I'm drawn to this lady who's reading the book. And I go to her and tell her my situation, what I heard, come there. And she said, well, hold on. She goes to her husband. She comes back. She said, ma'am, do you have a car? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, well, follow us. And I tell you, sis, she took us to their house, and you would have thought we was out-of-town guests. This lady feasted like it was Thanksgiving. I mean, she could. For one night, we was able to call a place called home. And I hope I get to meet these people, because they were angels. I mean, and then I just remember the next day, they were Christians. She prayed for us, and she gave me $60. You know, for just pocket change as I go on my way. But for one night, we had a place that we can call home.
Wow. Wow. That is, ooh, girl, I got chills all over.
I would love to meet them, because I would love to let them know what happened since that time. It was somewhere, I think, Union City. My kids remember. I can't even remember what they looked like. So I tell the story. Hopefully they hear one of the radio interviews and they'll remember me, but for one night, man, the lady, wow. It
makes you feel like royalty.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That is beautiful. That is beautiful.
How
does it feel to be the first in your family to go to college and actually graduate? How does that feel?
Oh, my. You know, when you drop out in the 10th grade school, and I'm going to be honest, I'm going to tell you how I came about to go to college. And I was so angry. Mary Parker, she owns one of the, successful security companies here. And so I started having dreams and visions of me speaking and preaching around the world. And so one Sunday I went to church at St. Peter Baptist Missionary Church over there off Venetian. And after the service was over, she came off the pulpit, and I started telling her about these dreams and visions, you know. And I said, but I don't know I don't know what they mean, because I'm homeless. I don't have nothing. And she said, did you finish school? I said, no, ma'am. She said, well, you probably want to start there. And I'm going to be honest, I was mad. I'm saying to myself, oh, my God, I'm 35 years old. And I'm like, oh, my God, school. Oh, lady, I thought you were going to tell me just go join a ministry team or something. You know, and I'm like, oh, okay, thank you. But that was how the thought of going back to school even crossed my mind. I said, well, do you have any school that you can recommend? She said, why don't you try Beulah Heights Bible College? And that's where I started. So I just remember going there shaking like a leaf because I'm like, oh, because in my mind I've been verbally abused, physically, rejected by family. So I'm thinking I'm a loser, I'm dumb. And I just remember going to that school shaking with my little application. And when I got in, I tell you, when I got my associate's, my bachelor's, my MBA, but when I got accepted into the PhD program, I really want a bungee jump up to heaven and high five God at that moment. But that moment I wish it was a way we could just go up there but I tell you, the most thing I'm proud of, right before we went into the depth of homelessness and all that thoughts of I didn't want to live anymore. I just remember going to my six children, and I gave them the only thing I had to give, the only thing as a poor mom in spirit and mind. I said, well, if I can teach you all how to give back now at your lowest, then I said, I want to teach y'all how to give back. And they were like, Mama, what you talking about? We don't have nothing. And I'm like, I know, I understand. I said, but if I can teach you all how to give back now at your lowest, then I've given you a strong foundation to build on to become great leaders. And I didn't really know what I was doing, but I wanted to give who I was to my children. And so out of me showing them how to give back, we did events in the community around the Hurricane Katrina time. Mm-hmm. And one by one, my oldest son, Felipe, came to me his senior year and said, Mother, by what you showed me on how to give back, I decided to join the United States Marine Corps. He just retired after 10 and a half years. Now he's going to school to get a bachelor's in biology because he wants to continue serving as a biology teacher. Another son, my son Nico, he came and he's been caretaking my parents, his grandmother on his father's side. He looks for people that he can bless. Then I have a daughter that says, Mom, my way of giving back is going to the medical field. She's an EMT. Now she's pursuing her bachelor's in human services. I have another daughter that says, Mom, my way of giving back is pursuing a human services career as well. She's about to graduate this year with her bachelor's, and she joined the United States Army 6 months ago. My 18-year-old, my 18-year-old daughter, she just graduated from high school. She became a two-time published author by the age of 15. She's been speaking out on community issues as a youth leader since she was 12, and we're preparing for her to go to the Army. And my last child, Omega, he's the last. There's no more coming after him. And he'll be 17 this month, and he loves to volunteer. He's a youth leader and just a good kid. So I tell you, to see them leading in their own way from what I taught them is my biggest accomplishment.
You know what? That's beautiful. Because not one time did you say, I lost any of them. You have six. Not one time did I hear you say, you lost any of them to the street. Not one time did I hear you say, I had to bury one. Not one time.
And I tell you, when people talk, and it was a lot because you got six personalities. So I learned how to love them according to who they were, not group them in a group. And my kids, and you know, it's funny because my son, when he joined the Marines, and I got the Marine boot camp after he graduated, and I was just talking to him one day, showing the bull. I say, son, you didn't work out like the recruiter told us. How you make it through the boot camp? And the Marines have the hardest boot camp. And he said, Mother, I thought about you. He said, I know we was a joke of the family. Nobody would help you. Everybody was laughing. He said, you could have did anything. You're a nice-looking woman. You have a nice shape. He said, you could have started drinking, started doing drugs. He said, but because you did not give up, that's how I kept going. Because I said, if she can do it, I can do it. And I was like, oh, I just broke down and cracked. I'm like, oh, my. So, yeah, it was, I'm definitely proud of all of them.
Yes. And, you know, I want every young parent to hear those words. Your children are watching you. They're watching.
Yes.
And watching. So what are you, what type of a role model are you setting? He remember how mama did, you know, what mama did and how mom persevered beyond being homeless with six children. Now mom is a 12-time author with her own business, with a from a GED to a doctorate. What's your excuse? You know what I'm saying? What's anybody else's excuse? Because everything that could have come against you, I'm sure you went through as a single parent with six homeless.
You know, I talked to my son, and I tell you this. Oh, it's just so much in the story. That 10 years was so packed with just nuggets, and you know, once your kids get grown and they start, they call you every now and then. So my son was stationed in Tennessee as he is now, and I just remember pulling my driveway, and when I saw his number, because he rarely calls, because he be, you know, just and you know, doing his thing, and my heart dropped. I'm like, oh my goodness, do he need me? So I answer the phone, and they are like, Lord, you hate calling mom because she be ready to pull them shoes and come where you at. And so I said, yes, hey, baby, how can I help you? And he got real serious, so I'm like, oh, my goodness. But he said, Mother, I would love for you to do me the honors of coming to Tennessee and pinning me at my ceremony to Staff Sergeant Hope. And
Did you cry?
That was a blessing. Although I was no longer homeless, the residue was still there of me thinking, you know, just because you're out of a situation, you know, you're talking about a 10-year period, and I was rejected at every turn, so. I was just like, you called me? I was shocked that he called me. I thought he would call a buddy or somebody. But I was still shocked, like, because in my mind I was still, you know, dealing with the residue of the stigma of statistics and being a nobody. So I still haven't yet to, at that point, to see myself the way God had saw me. So it was definitely an honor to make that trip to Tennessee with my family to pin him at his ceremony.
Wow, that is so awesome. I'm telling you, just that's beautiful because you became like that hero for him. You know, you became the hero for him, and that's commendable because it wasn't someone on TV or someone, you know, in the streets. My mama was my role model because I saw her do it, I saw her heart, I saw her, you know. Woo,
yeah, he joked. You know, he joked because he's like, Mama, it's almost like having you is like, we ain't got no excuse. Cause he was almost like our personal mentor that showed us how to keep going. So we really can't just go out and do it, you know, just go out and not try. It's like, okay, really? You going to not try with your mom? We joke and laugh at that when he was like, yeah, you kind of not give us no excuse not to. We just have a good laugh off that. And I just say, well, I'm just glad because I believe true leadership first starts at home. But also leadership, for me, gives you freedom to be individually. You don't have to copy off your brother or sister. I gave them the freedom to be who they are and to run their own race. And I think that's what leadership is all about.
Yes, and you allow each and every one of them to have their own identity. You didn't say you got to do it this way. You allowed them to have their own identity, and they appreciated that in and of itself. And the respect that they have for you, you know, it speaks volume. You know, that speaks volume because in the age that we're in, you don't see that a lot. You don't.
Yeah.
And I commend you. I truly do.
Thank you.
So you went from, because we're on Facebook Live, we have people who have kind of constantly joined throughout. So I'm just going to kind of do like a quick little run through, okay? So you are the what you hear is Dr. Latasha Holden, and she went from homeless with six children, living in her car at times, from house to house. She went from that with a GED to at 35 deciding, hey, I want better, to working on her bachelor's. Then she got her master's. Now she has her doctorate. She's run for office and only got beat by 400 votes, which is, and had no prior political association. And she raised $1,500. The person that beat her raised $50,000. So 400 is nothing compared to that. Yes. She has authored 12 books. Now, y'all, she wrote these 12 books in a year and a half. Is that not God? Okay? All six of her children are pursuing something and giving back because they saw the heart of their mother. And then last but not least, and, you know, this is just like, it continues, but she's launched her own business, and it's an entitled Three Elements, Inc. Why did you launch this business? Why did you launch Three Elements, Inc.?
Well, after I ran for office and wrote the books, and I said, well, I knew I wanted to give back, to continue to help people. I'm like, okay, well, God, I'm not from corporate America. I said, okay. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, what kind of business? You know, I got my MBA, and I said, well, what kind of business, what would I name it? And so a still small voice say, it's always been three elements about you ever since you was a little girl, and that's love, compassion, and service. Everything you've done have always had those three elements in it. And so that's how the business became Three Elements, Inc. So with Three Elements, Inc., I do motivational speaking, facilitate workshops, personal development coaching, parenting classes. And so my personal development is my signature workshop, which has been incorporated at the Atlanta Urban League. So I'm one of their contractors and one of their trainers and that for the personal development. And I tell you, the reviews I get from that when I do, because I really, the passion that comes, because I want people, and I know what it's not as easy as people to think to change your mindset. I know a lot of people have come to me, Dr. Holden, we got these programs, why people ain't, you know, coming in for the help? I say, you got to think about it. If God didn't help me, there was no way I could have to change your mind. The longer you've been in a situation, the harder it is to come out of it. You can't expect somebody that's been on drugs and a homeless 30, 40 years and living a poverty mindset life just because you don't open up a GED program. You know, that's why I'm just, if God didn't help me, there was no way I could have did that. So that's why I do the workshop, so I can actually walk people through it in motivational speaking, because they like, okay, you've been there. And so if you've seen, I don't know if you've seen it, like 3 weeks ago, I just made a post, a little snippet of my story and a picture of me, of my degrees. And within 3 weeks, there are almost 500,000 views. And so... people around the world have, I wouldn't even expect them to do that, especially on LinkedIn, because of the professional platform. You know, I'm thinking, yeah, you know, I'm just trying to let them know, hey, this is where I come from, and this is where I'm going with my business. And we're almost at 500,000 views, over 16,000 likes, close to 3,000 comments within 3 weeks, and people around the world have contacted me and said, oh, my God, just men and women, you know. And so I'm just... yeah, I'm just blown away by what God's doing.
Wow. You know, it's a beautiful thing to walk in obedience. And I tell you again, I commend you, because you could have allowed your circumstances and situations to tell you differently. But you said, I speak to you, circumstances and situations, and tell you who I am and who my Father has created me to be. Oh, my goodness. So tell us, how can we connect with Three Elements, Inc.? How can we follow you? How can we stay in contact with you for the listeners and for those who are listening by radio or Facebook Live?
Well, I tell you, this coming Sunday, I'm going to have a documentary came out on my family back in 2016.
Okay.
It was only shown maybe three times because of running office. I didn't really have time to really promote it. But we're going to have a documentary screening, book signing this Sunday. You have to be in Atlanta to see the documentary. But we're going to after we show the documentary, we're going to have a live meet and greet where I'll be interviewed to share my story in person, and because we got people that have reached out on LinkedIn, how did you do it? And so we're going to be streaming live Facebook and for people who are not in Atlanta. But if you're available this Sunday, come on down from 3 to 5 at the Apex Museum on 135 Auburn Avenue. We're going to have refreshments. We would love for you to register. I got flyers on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook. But come on down. If you know a friend that feeling a little, you know, if yourself, you're giving up, feeling a little hopeless or weary, and sometimes all you need is a little jolt to the heart, you know, to kind of get you back going. So we'd love to see you this Sunday, July 28th from 3 to 5 at the Apex Museum on Auburn Avenue. I'm on all social media platforms. So if you're looking for a motivational speaker for your next event, please contact me at 404-838-9587. Or you can email me at LatarshaHolden@yahoo.com, and that's LatarshaHolden@yahoo.com.
And can you repeat the phone number for me?
Yes, it's 404-838-9587.
Okay. All right. Great.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody.
And
on Facebook.
Sorry, and check out all the books on Amazon. Sorry. All the books are on Amazon.
Amazon and Audible?
No.
Oh.
No,
okay.
Not Audible, but yeah, you can get. You said Audible, right?
Huh?
No, they're not Audible, but they can.
Okay.
Yeah, they want to get up. Yeah, all my books are available on Amazon.
On Amazon. Okay. Gotcha. All right. Wow. Girl, you have a testimony, and there are so many different audiences that you can reach. You can reach the homeless. You can reach the single mom. You can reach the young children. You can reach so many different audiences and genres with your story. And I just tell you, keep going. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep hearing, keep listening, and keep pursuing as he's calling you to do it.
Bless you and thank you.
You're welcome. Any final words to the audience?
I'll tell you this. I want to let you all know that if you keep pushing, I guarantee you there is light at the end of the tunnel. I had to learn how to stand and stand alone and run for office. Hey, when you know your why is going to get you to them how moments. You know, how am I going to do it? You know, my why was stronger than my fear of being rejected by the people in the community, being criticized or talked about by the other candidates. My why and my love for others is what propelled me to get in that right race. So when you know your why, it's going to give you that extra oomph that you need when you start second-guessing yourself. Last word, own your space. You deserve to be here and fight for your dreams just like the next person.
Wow. I love it. Well, we commend you again for everything you've done. Congratulations in advance. And can you repeat the information about them coming and watching your documentary? Repeat that for them again.
Yes, I would love to meet you all. We're having a live meet and greet this Sunday, if you're in the Atlanta area, at the Apex Museum on 135 Auburn Avenue from 3 to 5. We're going to have refreshments. You know, we got to eat. You know, so we're going to have a refreshment. Come on out, and we would love for you to register so I can make sure it's enough refreshments. You know, y'all to have it with. But, yeah, you see the flyer, register, but or inbox me and say, hey, Dr. Holden, I'm coming. I just, you know, register for you, you know, if you can't see the link. But, yeah, again, it's this Sunday, July 28th. From 3 to 5 p.m. at the Apex Museum on 135 Auburn Avenue in Atlanta, Georgia.
Hey, man. Well, thank you again for joining us tonight. We thank God for you for taking the time out to join us. And we look forward to hearing greater things that are coming because you're continuing to do more. This is just the beginning.
Thank you. And thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It is my pleasure. Guys, if y'all missed any of this interview with Dr. Latasha Holden, you missed a treat. So you got to go back and listen to the recording or you want to go back and listen to her on the Facebook live feed. She wasn't able to join us visually, but because I had promised that we would actually be on Facebook Live, I did still do the live so that you could hear her voice. But I'm telling you, we don't have any more excuses. It's time out for excuses. The topic tonight was, your present is not your future. So despite what your current situation may look like, don't allow it to tell you what your future is going to be. And she didn't. She was homeless. She had 6 children. I mean, everything that could have come against her, she had it. But she said, you know what? She formed a relationship with the Lord. And from there, everything went up. So I dare you to start dreaming again. I dare you to trust God and live the life that he's called you to live, not just live and exist and just say, well, you don't know. No, she went through those things, and you don't know what she went through. But I promise you, if you trust him, be obedient and walk that thing out, it'll be done. I want to thank our sponsors again, Infographics, Vodiology, Post Care Surgery Care of Atlanta, our travel ambassador and business coach, Ms. Cornelia Brown, Inspired Jewels for You, and Ms. Deidre Norvette. Now, next week, the topic is going to be the wealth of sacrifice. And so we have Ms. Deidre Norvette actually being our guest. We're going to be playing the full song of our new jingle that you heard. That's her voice that you hear on the new jingle, and the intro and outro song. So that is Deidre Norvette, and she will be joining us next week live on Fighter Inspire. And the topic will be the wealth of sacrifice. Make sure you come back and join us then. We love you guys. Have a blessed and prosperous week.